Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural podcast. Today we're going to get to know Danielle Howard even better. This is a really fun podcast format for us because we're going to ask Danielle 20 questions, and this is going to give you, the listener, an opportunity to truly find out what makes her unique and different, but not just that, what truly makes her tick. So Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to go historical on you here. So why don't you decide, or tell everybody, why you decided to work in the financial services industry?
It's a culmination of a couple different events. One was the fact that I was already working in my husband's business. He was in the insurance, the sales arena. So I'd come to the table with a marketing background and thought I would just walk alongside him. Also had the idea that I wanted to do it from a Christian worldview and help people understand, you know, just basic money, you know, good habits. So started working with him on that line of things. And about 4 years into my working alongside him in the sales arena and from just doing some small group studies and helping people understand budgets and, you know, just really basic stuff. My ex-husband passed away unexpectedly. And I thought, you know, I kind of know what I'm doing. I'm in the financial services business, and found out in reality, I didn't have a clue. We made some mistakes in how we dealt with that. And we didn't seek out some professional advice as far as attorneys. And it was a very painful experience and some money that should have been there for my daughter. So the fact that I was working in the business and kind of had some background and knew it was something I enjoyed, alongside the fact of learning from some painful experiences, led me to go with, you know, it's so much more than a product. It's a process, and it's about having somebody walk alongside you that can educate you. And so I started delving into the financial life planning, got my certification, found that career path that would allow me to help others and move away from that product end of it. And it's a journey for everyone. I'm still on my journey, so I use a lot of my life experiences. I feel you have to live it before you can give it. And I, you know, just want to continue to walk alongside people with their journey of learning what financial health is really about and different tools that they have, the techniques and mindsets. And you know, after getting my certified financial planner designation, kind of elevated it all to another level.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've already given us a preview of the next probably two or three questions. But when you say you have a specialty or who you work with, who is your ideal client?
I wanted to serve everybody for a long time. And you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And what I've found in, because my own life journey, my husband is a couple years older than I am. So we've been on a journey of moving him through retirement, we call it rewirement. And because we've been on that journey ourselves in what he's experiencing and many of the people that have been through my office in the last 8 years, that has really become my focus, because it's what people, you know, that's the questions they were asking. It's where they were at. So I like to call it my rewirement crowd. They're people who are transitioning into the fall season of life. They may still be working. They may be looking at what's going to change down the road from a, you know, lifestyle or liquidity. How long am I going to live? What kind of legacies do we want to leave? And putting all those financial puzzle pieces together and knowing that it's just constant strategic changes along the way. But that's kind of the age group, that 55 and older crowd that's really getting ready to transition towards that next season of life.
When you say you walk alongside your clients, what would a client expect? What is that experience like?
They're going to be heard. We do a lot of listening. So many times people they just go into a financial advisor's office and they get told what they should do or what they haven't done and what they need to do. And they have a fairly unpleasant experience. So we are rewriting what a true financial advisor experience would be. And that is going to be us digging into what's really important to you. What are your dreams? What are your concerns? What are your aspirations? And then maybe challenging you on some of your ideas that may have come just from either your family history or what society says. You're supposed to draw a line in the sand at 65 and step over into a life of luxury. And what we're finding is that there's a lot of unhappiness if you're not following your true your true nature, your values, what's really important to you. So as a financial advisor, you want to know that, you want to hear that from people. And when you do that, then you can put the financial tools, whether it is cash value life insurance or home equity or Social Security or retirement plans or continued work from the gig economy nowadays, we can put all those financial pieces together to create a strategy and look at tax implications and all the quantitative parts, to put it all together. But we want to make sure that people have peace of mind and clarity about what's important to them. And we want to make sure we hear them.
If your ideal client was listening right now, and you were to define them or describe them, how would you do that?
We love working with positive people that have, really a good attitude on life. And we realize that life happens and there's tough stuff that comes along the way, but it's what you do with that. So, in looking at why would somebody want to work with us, I want to have people that want to look at opportunity and want to look at the bright side of I tell people we want to look at every day finding something to be grateful about. So it's that positive attitude about life. It is, I like working with people. We're in the heart of Colorado, so we're very outdoorsy. We're very focused on health in all areas of our life. Mm-hmm. Physical health, relational health, spiritual health, financial health, and that it is all a, ongoing learning process, but that we have to be willing to say what's a 1% change I can make in this. So I'm talking to people about, wow, you have a great attitude, and based on what you're saying is important to you, some of your life goals may revolve around your physical health. Mm-hmm. So what are the financial implications of that? So my ideal client is going to be somebody that is going to seek and respect professional advice, and that they want a team, whether it is it might be a life coach, it might be a CPA, an estate planner, a health coach, and that we're all working together to look out for what's in your best interest in order that you, the client, are free to pursue what really brings meaning and purpose to your days.
How do you acquire clients like that?
I'm very discerning about who we want to work with. Again, it's conversations. We get referrals from our current clients. I do a lot of writing in a local newspaper, and I'm doing some blogs, and we're doing podcasting now. We have workshops that we do, and just to help people see what I do differently and how this is a different type of conversation that goes above and beyond, just meeting your benchmark returns in the market. Yes, that's important. But so I'm very discerning. If somebody walks into the office and says, you know, well, did you beat the S&P 500 last year? If that's the first question out of their mouth, puts up a couple red flags for me. Yes, sure. The money management is very important, but we have to come up with the why. So when people, we ask everybody a question, what is your idea of financial health? What is your version of financial health? And I take that into consideration when we decide to work or take on a new client.
So you're doing the podcast. You also do blogs and workshops. What else do you do for client education?
We do a variety of continuous, education, whether it is with current clients. We're always sending out, whether it's on tax reform or Social Security. We actually just brought on some new software that really drills down into Social Security of, over 500 different ways to take it based on your situation, past marital issue, past marital status. What is the best way for you to take distributions? And that changes if you're not taking Social Security yet. And what goes on with it, either, in our government or in your life, we need to constantly monitor that and refine it moving forward. So we're always reaching out to our current clients to make sure they understand how to best use the tools they have or that they may want to access down the road. We will do workshops where we'll invite our current clients and open it up to the public, and that may be on things such as elder abuse, how to protect yourself, or tax reform. We kind of try to combine that qualitative side with the quantitative number crunching, knowing that you need both. And my main goal is to educate our clients, have them feel empowered, and to open up the conversations around money. And I think that's really important that we all start making it okay to talk about money and become a little vulnerable about how we do that. So I would say if my client education comes from, yes, we want you to understand who you are around your money and what your money is doing for you and how do we combine those to get the biggest oomph for your bang for your buck.
Gotcha. Now, this practice isn't just you. There are other people who help your clients and who help you. Would you mind educating us on who's on your team and what they do?
Well, you guys are now in my team, so appreciate having you all with us. I have Molly here in my office. I call her, she's my chief clientologist. You go to a bar, you have a mixologist that are creating something unique for you. And she's about creating a unique experience for our clients here. She is also we make ourselves available to clients to walk alongside them in a variety of ways. I have brought on SEI, is my third-party money manager at right now. I'm constantly doing my due diligence and my research to make sure I've got an asset management team that gives me the space to get real creative with my clients, whether it's around asset allocation, whether it's around tax diversification and how we're taking money, whether it's around charitable giving with donor advised funds and charitable remainder trusts. So I've got a real robust asset management team who can bring a variety of tools to the table for my clients. I've got my broker-dealer right now, which is Cambridge Investment Research. They're providing some of the legal, the 30,000-foot view of making sure my clients are protected with the compliance issues as well as security with all of the computer integrations and all of those moving parts. And then we have a lot of folks that we work with just, again, to put the financial planning pieces with the education that we're trying to do to get people the kind of information that is going to be beneficial but not overwhelm them.
Where you live, as you said, is very focused on just overall wellness, what sort of stuff do you do in the community besides hanging out outside?
Do I need to do more?
Personally, I don't think so. I'm quite envious of where you live because it's beautiful, but I think everybody'd like to know what you do in the community too. So,
okay. I'm involved with a program called Youth Entity. They've got a fantastic educational process for our youth here in the Valley. It's called I Am Financial Knowledge. So we go into the schools and at the fifth grade and the eighth grade level, we go in and teach financial literacy. And I've worked with Junior Achievement in the past, and they do a great economics, you know, how to become an entrepreneur. What Youth Entity does is it's a little bit more expansive than that and looking at personal finance. It really helps people, these kids, get some foundational content around, again, that meaning of money. What does money mean for you? What are your messages around money? And then what's the difference between a credit and a debit card? So they've been a lot of fun to work with as we've put together their programs and gotten that out. And that is a growing, they're speaking to a growing group of schools here in the Valley and expanding that. I am very involved in the churches here in the Valley. I do a lot of financial stewardship education and am a resource for many of the churches here in the Valley to come and put on educational events around donor, how to understand who you are as a giver and maybe what tools you would want to use in order to leverage your giving. I work with other nonprofits, again, primarily to educate their donor base on those philanthropic opportunities, not only from the context of what tools to use, but who are they as givers and understanding what venues speak to their heart and get them on board with right connections there.
You talked about the CFP. What other sorts of advanced designations and education do you have? You had said something else, and I didn't write it down. What was the other thing that you said that you had the training in?
The other one is the designation. It's called a Qualified Kingdom Advisor, and this is a Christian organization that is focused on biblical-based financial life stewardship. And it is a designation. It took quite a bit of studying. I need to keep up continuing education to be a part of that. It's a tremendous resource of, again, additional wisdom. It's not that I talk differently. It's just that it's foundational good advice and gives me a perspective on life that may resonate with people in a bit of a different way. I've also been trained through Money Quotient, which is a nonprofit up in Portland that works with financial life planners, again, with process and to help their clients all understand, you know, what is financial life planning, that it is digging deeper into that values, into qualifying what's important in people's lives and helping them understand maybe their financial personalities or some opportunities and challenges inherent in, you know, how we do our money.
Finally, in the first part, because next we're going to really get into really what makes you tick outside of work. But before we do that, what is your financial philosophy?
Good question. I think that money should support a person's life experience and not dictate it. And I believe that the media turns that around, that our culture tells us that the more money, you know, you are more valued the more money you have. And I don't believe that. I believe that every person has a unique experience to contribute to the world. And we need to look at how to best use their financial resources to allow them to live in that and to blossom in that. And you know, I truly believe it is my calling and my responsibility to walk alongside people in understanding, you know, all aspects of their financial life, you know, whether it's from how they're bringing it in or giving it or nurturing and growing and protecting it, or how they are spending it intentionally on what things bring joy to their lives.
Now we're going to switch gears and find out a little bit more about what makes you tick outside of work. So tell us what you do for fun when you're not working.
I'm sitting here looking at the Roaring Fork River going by my office and looking forward to summer boating season. I'm a ducky kayaker, which is an inflatable kayak. We've got a duck that we get out on and love to go boating and rafting and do 3 to 5 day trips in the summer where we can get away from the cell phones and the computers and life in general and just take in everything that Colorado or Utah has to offer. Love to road bike. I've kind of given up on my mountain biking at this point in my life. The downhill falls are getting too painful. Winter, love to ski. I'm more of a cross-country skier, whether that's traditional or skate skiing, than I am a downhiller at this point. But I enjoy the social aspects of being outside in a variety of different elements.
Who's your hero?
I would say my primary hero is my Auntie Kay. She passed away about 3 years ago in late May, and she was like a second mom to me. But she lived her life in full integrity. She worked her butt off. She was a farm girl, you know, raised on a North Dakota farm, and she knew what it was to work hard. So I grew up seeing that work ethic. And I also saw that call to service, that she was a scrub nurse for one of the leading heart surgeons in the Denver area. And she was just, she had a servant's heart. So I was able to walk alongside and gleaned a lot of insight and wisdom from that. And she inspired me, and how she dealt with some of the tough stuff in her life, you know, really, really spoke to what I wanted to play forward.
If you had all of the money in the world you ever needed, what would you do?
I would probably continue to do what I'm doing now and build on it. Probably hire more people to get them trained in my vision of what I think truly helps people to break out of the bonds of, you know, consumerism and understand what a healthy economy really looks like and how to be part of that. And I'd build on that, and I would visit my kids who are now, I'm expecting my first grandchild in August. So I would definitely maybe have a second office over in Hawaii, which is where they are at. So that would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite person in history and why?
Well, I always have to, you know, Jesus Christ comes to the forefront of my head. I also, you know, he just lived life in a way that was loving and kind and spoke the truth in love and had that ultimate servant's heart. Then I really appreciate our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, his creative spirit, his tenacity, the wisdom that came out of that group of men. And as I read more about our women in history, which are finally, many of those women are finally coming to the surface, it's fascinating to see how women were usually many times that behind the scenes, but they were very much there. So I look forward to finding some new folks in history that I admire.
When you think of success, what does that word mean to you?
I love that word because I like to walk alongside people and help them define their version of, I call it true prosperity or true success. It is not about money. It is about, to me, it's about, you know, laying down at night, putting my head on the pillow. And even though I know I didn't get everything on the checklist done, that I've been able to help some people and that I've given it my best and that I'm still learning and continuing to grow.
What is one thing you recommend most to clients, family, or friends? This can be a book, it can be a song, it can be whatever.
I said it to a client today. She walked in actually I was talking to her on the phone, and she was just, I was like, take a breath. Take a deep breath. Sometimes we get, our days are so full and we're so frantic. And when it comes to money, sometimes we feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to deal with this right now. And I think if I gave a recommendation to people on the, you know, on a moment's notice, I would say, just stop, look around, take a deep breath, find something to appreciate about the moment you are in. And that will give you clarity about whatever's next. And then we'll deal with it.
When you said that, I found myself realizing I was taking very shallow breaths and needed to take a nice deep breath. I'm hoping other people experience that too, that your power of suggestion there worked very, very well. Name one thing that most people don't know about you.
Well, I jumped out of an airplane with my 80-year-old Andy Kay when for her 80th birthday, she decided that was something she'd always wanted to do. And once we all got over the shock of it and tried to talk her out of it, then it was like, okay, somebody's got to go with her. So I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane and found the ground right alongside my 80-year-old aunt.
Wow. What is your mantra, motto, or something you say to yourself to keep yourself focused and on track?
You know, do the best you can with what you have for right now.
Wow, that's short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah, you know, I think we can get consumed in, you know, I didn't do enough or I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And I battle that. I think we all do, and we want to do it better, and we, you know, want to do it more efficiently. And those are all good things. But at any given moment, if you're giving the best you can be and being very present with whoever you are with, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah. What is your proudest achievement?
I'm a mom. I have two beautiful daughters, mind, body, spirit. They're smart. They're funny. They're awesome. We have two bonus kids, one bonus daughter and one bonus son. And I love being a mom. It has challenged me in ways. It has helped me to grow in ways I never thought possible. And definitely my pride and joy.
Last question. You have the attention of many, many people. Who should listen to your podcast? And what is the best way for people to reach out to hear from you?
Who should listen to my podcast? If you are within 5 years of retirement, or transitioning into towards that fall season of your life, I think what we're going to be talking about on this podcast is going to be a benefit to you, whether it's around the financial tools that you have, the economic environment, your life season, your financial season. We're going to be unpacking a lot of good stuff along the way. And for people to reach out to us, you can work with us, you know, face to face on a journey of financial health. And you can learn more about that at www.wealthbydesign4u.com. And to find out about, I've got an online retirement course that is going to go live hopefully sometime in June. And you can keep an eye out for that and sign up for webinars and workshops and newsletters, et cetera, at Danielle Howard, DanielleHoward, Howard, Howrd, number4u.com.
Fantastic. Well, Danielle, thank you very much for giving our audience the opportunity to get to know you better.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And if you have not subscribed yet to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below so that every time Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. For Danielle Howard, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC, are not affiliated.